Resurrection. Lord, bring all of us into the resurrection life. Lord, we thank you today is also the first day of the week. Lord, we just give this day into your hand. Lord, we thank you for this, the Lord's day. Lord, we just want to open our whole being to receive your life, to receive your supply. Lord, we have nothing we do, but we thank you that you are everything to us. Lord, we pray that your victorious blood will cleanse us and cover us. And that together we bind your enemy, bind all his distractions. Lord, we give ourselves to you. Lord, we pray that we'll continuously receive your supply. Lord, for this, not only just for today, and also for the whole week, we pray you'll give us your rich presence. We pray in your precious name. Amen. You know that this week we had the Thessalonians chapter 4. But this morning we did not read the whole chapter 4 because the last part of chapter 4 has a lot to do with the Lord's second coming, and then the chapter 5 covers the Lord's second coming in a very detailed way. Therefore, today we just cover the first 12 verses. So to keep the other things, the rest of the chapter 4, then we will combine that with chapter 5. So then we can get into this matter of the Lord's second coming in a more detailed way. And so this morning, my first burden is we have been on this matter, the Thessalonians, for quite a number of weeks. So by now, I believe most of you know that this book, Thessalonians, is the letter Paul wrote to the saints in Thessalonica, that city. And we have repeated many times that actually Paul only visited that place for a very short time. And even though Paul was there very short time, maybe only 3 or 4 weeks, but anyway, based on the Bible, we know that Paul did not spend too much time there. And then, but yeah, on the other hand, that these newly saved ones, they went on in a very good way. But even though they, according to this first and second Thessalonians, you can see that on one hand, Paul really loved these newly saved ones. But on the other hand, Paul also was somewhat concerned for them, because Paul knew that he was there only for a short period of time. And in Paul's heart, he had a burden to share more things to these saints in Thessalonica. But yet, he tried to go back to Thessalonica. Then Satan tried to frustrate, so Paul could not get there. This was in this book. Paul said this. In other words, on one hand, Paul praised them in many areas, because these newly saved ones, they have the heart for the Lord. And then in the beginning, Paul also tell them some very important factors or things that a normal Christian life should live. And I hope you still remember in the first chapter, and Paul mentioned these three things. Do you still remember what are these three things Christians should know and should experience? What is the first thing? Faith, right? Yeah. Right. When is the faith, and what does faith mean? What is the meaning of faith? I hope that just very briefly, and faith is not that you agree with what Jesus said. You many people could agree with what Jesus said, or even try to intimate what Jesus said, but then that is still does not mean that you have faith. What is the meaning of faith? What is? To receive, right? You remember John chapter 1. It says that for those who receive him, and these are the ones that really had the faith. So the believing is receiving. If you do not receive, even though you agree with what Jesus said, still, because you did not receive, therefore, you do not have the real faith. So that means after we believe in the Lord, that means after we have received the Lord into us, we need to continuously have faith. In other words, we have to continuously receive Christ himself, then receive his word, receive everything from Jesus. So first, Christian, we need to know is, on one hand, we have received Christ into us to be our Savior, to be our living Lord, and then continuously we need to receive Christ into us. This is faith. Then what is second one? Love, right? And the second thing is love. But then it says, what is said related to love? What? What is the second point? You remember?
Labor.
Why it talks about love of labor? Then you realize, or I also need to realize, that this love actually is God's love. It's the Lord's love. And because the Lord loves us, he wants to save us. And therefore, because of his love, he went through a lot of what? Laboring. And so, in our side, what should we do? Again, we need to receive Christ's love. None of us can manufacture love. We cannot create our love. Our love is a natural love. But we need to continuously come to the Lord, enjoy the Lord, and receive him and receive his love. Then we use his love, or the Lord's love, or the love of God. We use the love of God to love God. And then we also use the divine love to love one another. So this is the second important factor, that is the love. And this love, this kind of love, is the love of God. And only with this love, we can love God and we can love one another. And what is the third thing? Hope, right. We all should have a hope. The hope is not a hope that the Lord one day will give you a mansion or give you a Cadillac. No, don't hope about these things. But we have much better things than all these material things. Now, what is the things that we are hope for? That is, one day Christ will come back. And you just look at today's situation. There's no hope. Regardless how people try to improve today's society, it can never happen. Rather, today's society will become worse and worse. The only hope is Christ. And this Christ lives inside of us. That's our hope. And because Christ is inside of us, therefore, this is our hope, and this is the glorious hope. And if your hope, if my hope is not centered around Christ, no other hope will mean anything. Sooner or later, you will become what? Disappointed. Sooner or later. But we pray, we thank the Lord, we have the real hope. That is, the Lord will come back when He comes back. At that time, we'll have a real, normal, divine hope. In other words, we'll have the kingdom of God on this earth. And this is our hope. So all Christians should be clear about these three things. Now, today, my burden is not to repeat these things. My burden is, I hope all of us will not have a wrong impression about these two books. Now, what kind of wrong impression? We have already repeated again and again that Paul's the letters, these epistles, his letter was sending, he wrote this, these two letters, is for what? To help these newly saved ones. Why I want to repeat this? I hope none of us, including I myself, we should not have this kind of wrong impression that since we know that these ones are newly saved ones and that they were very elementary, just like elementary school, and don't think because of this, these letters are not for us. No, because today I believe many of you have believed in the Lord or have been in the church life maybe for many, many years, and then you think, oh, this learning, this book is not for me. This is for newly saved ones. Did you have this attitude? No, none of us should have this attitude. On one hand, yes, it is true. The letter was written to those newly saved ones and those needy ones. But actually, even though we are not newly saved, maybe we have all been saved for many years, but still, these two books are for us. All of us need this. So we should never, with the wrong impression that this is not for us. Actually, today, in this 21st century, we need these books as the same as 2,000 years ago. In other words, those saints in 2,000 years ago, they need these epistles. So are we. Today, we need the same kind of words in these two books. So I hope that we are clear about this. Therefore, don't think, well, these are not for us. Actually, this is definitely for our today's need. And so you can see, now we come to chapter 4. Then you can see that here there are many things mentioned. The first thing is concerning the fornication. And definitely, so you can see that this what is the title? The title is the sanctification versus fornication. We are in an environment, we are in a society. All of us need what? Need this sanctification. We all have been saved. We all have been saved to the Lord. And then we are separated from this world. We are in the world, but we do not belong to the world. And so here we have to see that what God wants us, the condition we should have is the sanctification. we all need to be separated from this worldly thing. This world is the satanic system, and whether you think there are many good things or you think still some are good, some are bad, no. Basically, Satan tried to use the world, the structure of the world, to bring people away from God. And we have to be very alert for this. And one of the things, the first one is what? The first one is concerning fornication. Now, today, do you think today we don't need this word? Actually, today we need this word more important than 2,000 years ago. In other words, 2,000 years ago, in those times, then these saints, they need the warning, they need to be very alerted, to what? We had to be very careful concerning the matter of fornication. So this today is also something we have to be very, very careful. And yet, I don't think I need to say, especially when we are in New York, not only in New York, in any place, countries, not only the United States and many other countries, this is as bad as United States. So this is for all the Christians. We have to be very careful. We have to warn each other, don't fall into the trap of this matter of fornication. And so this is very important. Now, so when we come to chapter 4, I think we need to read the first four verses again. Let me see. Okay. Let's read the first four verses again with our spirit. Furthermore, brothers, we ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that even as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God, even as indeed you do walk, that you bound still more. But you know that charges we give you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of the, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And so here it talks about sanctification and versus fornication. And here in verse 4 it says that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification. So here it mentions this word, vessel. And now, what is this vessel? If you read many other portions, even the whole New Testament, you know this vessel actually is us. God created us not as a tool, not as other things, as a vessel. Vessel is something received. Originally, God created us as vessels. It's for us to receive Christ into us. Every vessel wants to receive something. And then, if we do not fill our vessel with the right thing, then other things will come to occupy this vessel. So therefore, we have to be very careful that God's purpose to create us He created us as a vessel so that we can receive God into us. So we are this vessel. And then in certain theologians thought this vessel receive a business, because most businessmen, they think about their vessel to receive what? To receive money. And they try to fill their vessel with money. But that's, then they say this vessel means money. But we have to see that in the New Testament, in the Bible, these vessels refers to us, refers to our vessel. And so this is the thing that we have to be very clear. Then with this understanding, let's continue on to verse 5. Yeah, together. Not passing of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Let's repeat this again with our spirit. Not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And so in the Gentiles, these are the non-believers. They did not receive God. But these ones, they like what? They are full of passing of lust. And these are the Gentiles' behavior. But we Christians are not like, should never be like the Gentiles. And then verse 6, let's read together. That no one overstep and take advantage of his brother in the matter, because the law is the avenger. Some of these things, as said before, you, and also 7 and 8. For God has not called us for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who, man, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. So then you can see that this matter is very serious. And especially in verse 5, it says, not in the passion of lust. Now, there is the thing called passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one overstep and take advantage of his brother in the matter. So in other words, so far as God is concerned, this matter is very serious. But there is a thing called the passion of lust. This is something we need to be very careful. Now, in other words, if you put all these verses together, what you see in this chapter is this. Now, on one hand, basically, we all have to be careful to not to be involved in this fornication. But on the other hand, you have to see the reason people get bound by fornication is because this matter of passion of lust. Now, we have to be very careful that none of us, no Christian, should get close to the passion of lust. Don't think that this is a small thing. If you are not careful, then sooner or later, this matter of sin, this matter of death, that is in our fallen people, and then this is the nature of satanic work in our flesh. And then, so we have to be very careful. If you are not careful, if I'm not careful, then this kind of passion will develop in us. And so we have to run away. Just like what Paul said to Timothy, that especially all the young ones, we have to flee. It's not just we keep a little bit away, but we have to flee away to these passions and lust. You know, not long ago, we had a conference in Thailand. And so the place we had is a very, very big hotel. I was told that it was one of the oldest, most famous hotel in the city of Bangkok. And then why the brothers there chose this big hotel for the conference, is because that this hotel is really, really big. And only this hotel could take more than 2,000 cents. So then they had no choice but to choose this place. But then another thing is that this hotel had restaurant, and we had big rooms for the conferences and many small rooms for the small groups. And so then we don't have to go out. We just stay in the in that hotel. But then later, even right after we arrived, the local brothers warned us that even though this hotel is good, it's very big, and so we don't need to go out. Then they said, whether you want to go out or not, we warn you, don't go out, because outside is so-called this red light area, right? So then all the brothers just stay in the hotel. No one dared to go out. And in the beginning, we thought we'll go out. It's dangerous. They did say it's dangerous. And we thought we probably would be robbed or something. But then someone said, oh, then we just have more people go out together. Then nobody dare to rob us. Then eventually we realized the local brother is not afraid of us to be robbed. But once you go out, you will see many things you should not see. Unless you can close your eyes. But then, again, you can. Then it's more dangerous. Probably you will be killed by a car or something. But so we have to be very careful. Don't get close to things like this. So this is the part. Now, this is the time I think we have to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. These verses are very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, originally, we plan to read things verse 18, but here I feel it's better that in this chapter, in chapter 6, let's start in verse 15. Let's read this together. Amen. So these verses are very clear. But I hope that all of us, after we go back to home, we need to PSRP these verses. And we need to pray read these verses. And we need to memorize these verses. And it says clearly, he said in verse 15, that do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Absolutely no. And then verse 16 said, or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute is one body? For he says, the two shall be one flesh. Then verse 17 said, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Let's repeat it 17 together. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Let's use our spirit to proclaim this verse. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Then number 18. Flee fornication. Everything which a man may do outside the body, but he who sin again his own body. So here you see that this, of course, all sins are terrible, and it's better don't commit any kind of sin, and or try to avoid. Now, even though we all know 1 John chapter 1, it says if we confess our sins, and God is faithful and is mercy, and then we forgive our sins. Yes, the Lord can forgive. Not only that, and we also can apply the blood of Christ to wash our sins away. But then we should never have an attitude that is sins. When I confess my sins, the Lord will forgive me, and also the blood of Christ will wash our sins away as if we have never sinned. Yeah, that's true. But then don't play with fire. Now, anyone try to play with fire, sooner or later he will be burned. And today, especially in the past when I served the young people, even way back, start from Taipei, and so many times, especially with the young people, and we try to help the young ones to experience this matter of dealing with our sins. And then eventually we saw some kind of abnormal condition. That is when, during the time, if you really want to learn the lesson of dealing with the sin, you have to do it in a very thorough way. And then, on one hand, you can confess your sins to the Lord. On the other hand, after in some places, after they learn this lesson to confess their sins and so forth, but then some of the young ones had a very terrible wrong concept. That is, I can confess my sin, and then the Lord is faithful and he's righteous, and so since we confess, and the Lord also had died for our sins, and so then so no problem. I don't have any problem. And then so some of them they even had the kind of a terrible attitude, and they try to compare whose sin is more serious. And it seems that those who are most serious sin, oh, they are very proud. You see, my sin is more serious than yours. And then they don't realize that when they commit a sin, even though the Lord will forgive you, it's because you have confessed your sins, but your being has been damaged. This many young ones did not realize. And sometimes I even a number of times I saw some of the young ones, they, for instance, okay, a group of young ones, they want to see the movies. And when they say, okay, some say, oh, it's not too good. Oh, don't worry. Let's see the movie first. Then afterwards, we confess our sins. Then the blood of Jesus will wash our clean. This is terrible, terrible attitude. You don't realize when you go to see the movies, things. You know it or you don't know it, you are being damaged. And so we never should have a kind of attitude that let me commit my sin first, then I come back to confess my sin. This is the big, big lie. And this is Satan's trap. Just try to destroy you. And I can tell you, based on all these years, I could see that those who were born in the Christian family, they are being protected. And don't think, I don't know how much interesting things I have missed. All those things you think is interesting, but all these are like poisons. Just try to kill you spiritually. And so we always have to have a kind of attitude that we need to flee these things. Don't try. Don't try to play with the fire. The one will be damaged, just it's you. Just like for instance, just use a very simple example. Then the mother tell her children, don't eat too much candy. And then, if you eat candy, when you come back, I will punish you. But then, when the parents went out, and then the children, or maybe just one child, and just since the parents were not there, they tried to steal the candy, then they eat the candy. Okay, then when their parents came back, they quickly hide the candy and as if they never eat anything. Okay, then later, probably since he did this again and again, later the parents were really angry, tried to punish the child, but then the child confessed his sin, and then the parents forgive the child. But then, eventually, the child will lose his teeth, because his teeth will be bad. So still, the child suffer that he might lose his teeth when he was very young. So that is the result of his sin. So don't play with fires. Eventually, the one who will get burned is yourself. And so we have to be very clear about this. And so these are the things here. But anyway, the important things in this 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is, then, do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? And then those who are one with the Lord are one spirit. And then also we have to see what, especially this verse, verse 19 and verse 20, let's use our spirit to declare these two verses. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. So that glorify God in your body. So we have to see that our body, okay, do you not know that your body is a temple? Your body is a temple. My body is a temple. Why? Because this God in the Spirit, they dwell in us. So we are all God's temple. We are God's dwelling place. And if we try to damage ourselves, if we damage our body, then we are damaging, we are trying to damage God's dwelling place. This is a serious matter. And then you can see many, many places. Then when the people sin the most, they will really, really suffer. And their body will be damaged. You can see. So again, I say, don't play with fires. And so we have to be very clear about this matter. Every time when, on one hand, we thank the Lord, Christ lives in us today. This is our glorious hope. But at the same time, we need to realize, because Christ died, He is the embodiment of the triune God, lives inside of us. So God is inside of us. And therefore, in the book of Ephesians, it says, don't let the Spirit in us grieve. Don't let the Spirit grieve. Why the Spirit will grieve? Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, lives inside of us. Because He lives inside of us, so wherever we go, this Spirit will go with us. So that's why in the Bible tells us clearly that we are sealed by this Holy Spirit. Once we believe in the Lord, we are sealed. Sealed by the Spirit. And because we are sealed by the Spirit, and so the Spirit can never leave us. So it is just, we very often use this illustration, like when this is my Bible, and then I don't want to lose this Bible, so just put my seal on my this book. Now today, probably we don't use seal too much, but then even if you sign your signature on it, but that is also like a seal. So seal on this book, and on one hand that means this book belongs to me, but on the same time, either my seal or my signature, once you put on this paper, then it will never leave. And so today, when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will never leave us. Therefore, we should not let the Spirit, what is the word?
Grieve.
We should not let the Spirit grieve. Why? Because the Spirit cannot leave us. It is not that, you go to a casino, you go to gamble. Then, you know, when you go, the Spirit will go with you. And if you go to movie theater, and then the Spirit will go with you. And then He can only grieve. So very often I did not have any Christian background. I was not I was the first one saved in my whole family. So then when I was young, even as young as 4 years old, my parents brought me to movie theater. But then, eventually, I realized some of the things I saw in the movies when I was 4 years old. Then, many years later, out of a sudden, something, some the things I saw have become coming up. So all these are damaging things. So we have to be very, very careful. So I hope that, that we have to see that the, this book is helping us, protecting us, and therefore we have to be, really take these things in heart. And then, but this is the most serious matter, so that's why we need to repeat it again and again. But then, in addition to this, there are also some other things. So here, basically, because of time, I just very briefly mentioned, in addition to the matter of fornication, we have to be very, very careful, and we have to flee these things. But then there are other things. Another thing is the idol. Don't touch the idol. Then you said, I never worship idol. But don't say this. And in the Bible, not only we should not go to a cathedral or a temple and to worship those statues. Of course, today's Catholic Church, there are a lot of idols. That's easy to see. But then there are many idols. It's not easy to see by our eyes. So what is the definition of idol? It's not only the statue outwardly, but everything replace a god. That's idol. So today, maybe you say, I never go to the temple or go to worship. But then, if you, I know many people take the star, either it's football stars or this star or that star, but then these stars replace God. These are the idols. Okay, so we don't know what is your star, what is your idol. I don't know, but just remember this: then whatever replaces God, and then that's our idol. And so we have to be very careful. So if one day, I assume that, I hope this will not happen, but if one day you think or you heard, last morning, what? They have the super, the final game is called what? Huh? Super Bowl? But anyway, if you think, only once a year they will have this Super Bowl, right, game. And then, so maybe if I just missed this last day morning, it's only once a year. But then, you are what? You are being bound by your idol. So I really hope that the Lord will be merciful to us and will save us from all these things. And then, lastly, I just mentioned one more thing. That here, and also this is in this the in chapter 4. Yeah, here you have. Let's read verse 11. Okay, I purposely want to include this verse 11. Let's read it. And to aspire to be quiet and attend to your own affairs and work with your hands, and even as we charge you. So here, you also have one thing. Seemingly, it's not that serious and for us to say we have to keep away from fornication. We can understand. And again, we have to flee from the passion of lust. Then it's easy to understand. But here you have the same what? And to aspire to be quiet and attend to your own affairs. Now in the church life, many times we have problems, mainly it's because some of the saints are not quiet. And so we also have to be very careful. We should what? We should aspire to be quiet. Now, I just mentioned one incident, just a short testimony. And when I was just in high school, I went to the that was in Taipei in hall number one, and then as we young people, a few of us young ones standing in the outside, it's an open place, and we talked to some of the leading brothers, and then all of a sudden a sister ran in. Wow, the ceiling of the service office fall down. She was very loudly and quickly say, "Oh, the ceiling of the service office dropped." We are young people, were all very, very nervous. Oh, the ceiling fall down. But those elderlies, they knew the sister. They were not nervous. They just very calmly and said, "You said the ceiling came down?" He said, yeah. It really fell down. Then the elders asked him, "How big?" He said, "That big." Then they said, "Really that big?" "Well, it was about this big." "Then really this big?" "Maybe it's still smaller." And eventually, when we walk into the service office, actually only a small piece fell from the ceiling. So this is why it is not that is not quiet. So and not only that, when we talk, very often we have to be careful for our word. Especially, don't pass on any. Gossips. And I just use another example. I just use this as an illustration. I don't know whether when you're young or in your small group, whether you have played one game. That was, if you have a number of saints and you tell one person something and let that person pass on to another one, then pass on another one, eventually the first sentence is completely become a different thing. And so I don't know whether you have played this. Of course, I don't want you to play this game now. But then, so maybe sometimes in your small group meeting, you can try. And if towards the end, you still have the same sentence, then you are blessed. But sometimes I just use one illustration. Don't take it too seriously. But I said, I had a piece of steak, but too greasy, and so I had diarrhea. It's very simple, right? And the reason I try to say this, I only try to tell certain one. Said, certain one tried to invite me out to eat restaurant. Then I said, "Well, I had a piece of steak, and but it's too greasy, and so I had diarrhea. So hopefully he will not force me to go to that restaurant." But forget about that. But then eventually the word pass on, eventually become what? Eventually, says, "Sister, that's Benjamin, the piece of steak, very greasy, and then Benjamin thanked her. Then you this the third person." And are jealous. I say, "What happened?" I knew that time Maria I was not in New York. He was out of the country. And then the whole thing changed. Then eventually, they said, Sister I and had a piece of steak, and Benjamin thanked her, and then you, that means the third person, are jealous. How did it happen? I'm sorry, maybe my English is too poor. Yeah, so, but when I say I mean I, Benjamin. But then the other person heard this. He thought in the church here, only Sister Maria has this last name, right? So then he said, Maria had a piece of steak, and it's greasy. And that time, I said to the one to invite me out, I spoke in English. And that maybe my English was too poor. And so first he thought I, now this I, was Sister I. And then, so when I said the steak was greasy, then it's, you know, in Chinese, greasy is you, 很油. So too greasy, then he understood as that you, the third person. So this greasy in Chinese can applies to you. And then he said, then when I said I had diarrhea, and in Chinese it could say 泻肚子嘛, 泻. Then he said, okay, so then logically, since Maria gave me a steak, so I thank her. So they took that xie, because thank you in Chinese is also xie. And so then he said, so Benjamin thank her. And then when I said it is greasy, and greasy in Chinese is you, so that means you. So to have diarrhea, but in Chinese diarrhea means 泻肚子. So when the one who heard it in Chinese, the thank you, is also 泻. So it's too complicated, right? No, in Chinese, everybody know. So that becomes a Sister I, and then he gave a piece of steak, and then so Benjamin thanked her, because the word diarrhea in Chinese, and also the same, that sounds the same as thank you. And then the when I said greasy, and that in Chinese also is you, and also sounds the same as you. So then lastly, and this word stomach, it also sounds like a dudes. Dudes very close to become what? Jealous, 妒忌. So completely, only one simple sentence become what? All become completely twisted. So then, what should we do? What should we do is, it's better don't have idle talk. One kind of idol is the things to replace God, and then another kind of idol is idle talk. And in other words, it is, we know the Lord will come back soon, right? We all know this. But then we also know once we come back, who will go to the judgment seat of Christ. And at that time, we all have to we all have to confess our condition. And then, so when the Brother Watchman he said this, and the only kind of word you will definitely repeat twice. That is what? That is our idle talk. Because when we talk idle words, that means idle work is not necessarily sinful, but by the other hand, really it's empty. No, it's no use. In other words, it's not for the building up of the church. It is not in the life of God. It is not in the spirit. So this kind of talk may not be sinful, but it means nothing. Empty talk. And so one day, before the judgment seat of Christ, we all have to repeat all the empty talk we have. So then, I just advise you, maybe too late, but never too late, and that is that let's talk, don't talk too much. The more you talk, and the more you have to repeat before the judgment seat of Christ, then your time stand up before the judgment seat of Christ will be much longer than if you keep quiet. So I'm not just speak this to you, I also speak this to myself. May the Lord be merciful to us. This is one of the ways that we can prepare for the Lord's second coming. So I just share this much. And I just share what touched me this week, and you can share whatever touched you.
I just have one announcement, and that is this Friday is the deadline for sign up for the live training continuing Genesis from December 23rd to 28th. So I trust that all those who plan to go to Anaheim will sign up by then. Now it's our turn to pray. Those going to the language meetings will do so. And then it's your turn to prophesy concerning what you have enjoyed in Thessalonians. Let's pray.